I guess I'm going to come at this a little bit differently. I certainly want to transcend the legal and the tax regulation issues that both Mr. Badger, Mr. Nelson, and Dr. Blaze brought up. But assuming that this moves forward, the proposed rule, I think, almost certainly has to include reference to health reimbursement arrangements, which have been around for decades and decades, well established, but now provide an employer an additional opportunity to move out of a benefit-defined world and move into a contribution-defined product, so that the traditional coverage is no longer the employer trying to select what benefit is best available to his employees, and instead providing funds or dollars that that employee can then go out and purchase. So to that end, the council very much would love to see it identified specifically that should a premium tax credit be available, should the glitch be fixed, that that employee family are able to combine the amounts the employer is providing along with the premium tax credit, so you eliminate what is being proposed as a problem, and that is multiple plans, multiple networks, multiple out-of-pockets, multiple deductibles, and they're able to purchase a single plan, a single network, a single deductible, a single maximum out-of-pocket with the funds being combined. So with that, I do bring a different perspective to the table in that I took my, I have several hundred employees in which we put into the individual market using an HRA. It's still an employer-sponsored plan. There's nothing different in that regard. We simply provided them funds. High success, high satisfaction rate out of that. And then we are an ACA plan in the Georgia market. We represent about one out of every 11 individuals insured in the Georgia market. And I will end with this. I think there's a misapplication of the traditional group model thinking. Two things. One, that everybody has access in a group model to a national network. Nothing could be further from the truth. Smaller employers particularly are impacted dramatically by this as they abandon the fully insured or the group insured market because costs are simply too high. And one way to mitigate costs year over year is to begin to reduce the network access and to increase deductibles and maximum out-of-pockets. I think the other concern is that we continue to mirror the individual market plan designs against group plan designs, and we assume group plans are significantly richer than individual plans. Mr. Nelson in his testimony referenced that as well. And while you may be able to prove an anecdotal component of that, I think overall you're finding individual plans, right, can mirror group plans in many markets, maybe not all, but certainly in many. In the Georgia market, we have plans that have zero deductibles. You don't find that in the group market. So I'll end with this. The HRA Council certainly applauds the efforts to fix the family glitch. I would echo Mr. Nelson's comments where, regardless of the desire to obtain a fix, we more strongly as a council desire that the cure doesn't become an unintended curse. With that, we believe that combining the employer funding with the premium tax credits, when you get down to the ground boot level of implementing this fix, helps to avoid such an unintended consequence. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Mixer. And we are happy to take any questions or to conclude our testimony by thanking you for this time today and asking you to clarify that families will be able to combine the HRA contribution with the PTCs to purchase one shared group plan. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is Stephen. Can I ask a question about that? Currently under the 36D regulation, a family has to opt out of the HRA in order to get a premium tax credit. And the employee has to opt out of the HRA. But if the employee does that and the HRA is unaffordable under the rules and the regulations, then the employee and the family are potentially able to claim a premium tax credit. is that what you're suggesting, that that rule change, that the employee, the family should both be able to get the HRA and get a premium tax credit? I'm a bit confused as to what you are requesting.
I think you've got to bifurcate the market. In the smaller market, those defined as small employers, which in Georgia is 50 and fewer, affordability really doesn't come into play because there's no affordability test. So it's only applied to applicable large employers. Where an applicable large employer subject to the affordability test, once it's deemed affordable, even if the employee waives off coverage, they still are not eligible for the premium tax credit. We think the fix ultimately provides kind of a best of both worlds environment where the employee could obtain the funding, right, particularly in an HRA environment, from the employer, right, and also garner premium tax credit from the federal government to assist in the premium payments that the family would be subject to. So we're not, I think if you left this under the affordability of employer coverage for family members and employees heading, as this testimony is, we're simply saying if you fix the family glitch, we recommend that you specify that an employee can obtain both employer and premium tax credits as a family and apply them to a single policy.
Okay, that helps. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other questions? Thank you for this opportunity to answer your question and to testify today.
Thank you to all of the speakers. We certainly appreciate your time. As we said at the